Good morning. We find ourselves again this morning in an empty sanctuary. So everyone that's watching this morning, if you don't follow along in the Bible, I'll be coming to your house to help you open up your Bible. But we welcome you into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. We welcome you to our video service this morning, and we are blessed to have you. Our sermon title today is called In the Way. And our scripture today is Isaiah 55, the entire chapter, all 565 verses of it. And while you're looking that up, in these times of gasoline shortages, the most amazing thing happened this week to me at a gas station. I pulled in, and people are being very careful about it, except for the one gent the next aisle over. He was sitting there gassing up his car, and he had his cell phone in his pocket. And his cell phone rang, and he picked it up, and when he answered it, it sparked. And his arm caught fire, his sleeve caught fire. He was sitting there on fire. He pulled away, and he started waving his arm around. And there happened to be a police officer sitting there, and all this stuff is going on, and I was amazed. They ran over, they put the fire out. They saved the man from being burnt terribly. Then they loaded him up in the squad car in the back seat. In handcuffs. And I finally walked over to the officer. I said, wait a minute, this guy, was he wanted for something? Did you figure this out? Was that a way that you knew that? And the cop looked at me and he said, no, we had to cite him. I said, cite him for what? And they said, well, he was waving an illegal firearm around. Why you all just shake your head? That's funny. I'm sure there'll be others on the camera laughing. Firearm, get it? Whatever. I'm funny and I know it. Our scripture lesson today, Isaiah 55, for the sermon titled, In the Way. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, and a leader, a commander of the peoples. Surely, you will summon nations you know not. And nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. May God add his passage, presence, and passion to these as we seek him. Let us pray. Father, we're a little bit off kilter today because we find ourselves changed slightly, but yet the words still come forward. The sermon is still yours, Father. The thoughts are given to us to listen to what's on your heart for us to know. Strengthen us with these words, Father, and put them forward. Let us know that you are watching over and keeping through this sermon. May it touch, bless, lift up, lead, and keep hearts strong and ever seeking you, Father, and your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, at my house, we have 1.5 bathrooms. One full bathroom with shower and everything, and a half bathroom downstairs. We have a family of 4. We now have teenage boys. We have a very small kitchen. Literally, you could reach from wall to wall in our kitchen. And yet, we often all find ourselves in the kitchen at the same time, bumping into each other. Excuse me, pardon me, pardon me, excuse me. I've got to get this. You're in my way. I'm trying to cook. And we do things in such a way that we find ourselves sometimes all in the bathroom at the same time. Dad, I'm trying to brush my teeth. Mom's curling her hair. Blah, blah, blah. Small. We bump into each other. We get in each other's way. There is a great movie out there that I highly encourage you to watch. Now, I've been told you shouldn't talk about movies and TV from the pulpit. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's the world we live in today. We're not in the 1800s. There's a great movie, and I believe, I want to say 1954. It's either 48 or 54. I'd have to go back and look. But it's called Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House. And it stars Gary Cooper and I think Irene Dunne. Anyhow, the whole movie centers on the fact that he is an advertising man who lives in the city of New York, and they live in an apartment that's so small, every morning when he tries to shave himself, he walks out of the mirror polka-dotted, walks out of the bathroom polka-dotted with little pieces of toilet paper everywhere because his daughters and wife bump into him. And so he decides that it's time to upgrade. And I don't want to spoil the movie, but they buy this piece of ground up in Connecticut and they build a house, and it's funny and all the things that go through it. But the underlying story is he's sweating himself simple, not just because he's building the house, but he has to come up with this slogan for Wham Ham. And nobody has been able to do it. It has been quoted to be the death slogan of many advertisers because no one can come up with anything to sell it. And he works diligently on trying to build the house and come up with this slogan. And if you've ever seen the movie, well, I do have to tell you that the thing that makes me laugh at the movie is when they're going through all these papers trying to figure out this slogan, one of the ones that he thinks is the winner to come up with is, are you ready? This little piggy went to market. It's meek and mild as a lamb. He smiled in his tracks when they slipped him the axe because he knew he'd turn out to be Wham. Please watch the movie. They didn't use that one. But at the end of the movie, he figures out this truth that all this stuff was going to happen regardless. You see, I term this sermon In the Way. And I bet you that there were people that looked at that line and said, oh, Paul's going to talk about the way of the Christian. In the way of truth, the way of Jesus. No. This is the piece of the actual sermon title. And I'm going to share it with you now. Are you ready? Getting in the way of God was the sermon that was given to me off an offhanded comment by our IT guru here at Long Meadow Church, the brother. As a matter of fact, our entire sound system and our audio work and all of the television work that goes on here at the Worldwide Studios at Long Meadow Church of the Brethren comes because of Greg Kiefer. And I said that name so that people watching this video go, oh, Greg came in and made an offhanded comment. One time we were talking, he said, well, I guess we're always getting in the way of God. Bing! I wrote it down. I said, eventually that'll be a sermon. Today's the day. We are always getting in the way of God. Samuel Rutherford quoted in Prodigals and Those Who Love Them, a book written by Ruth Bell Graham in 1991, had these words to say. Duties are ours. Events are God's. When faith goes to meddle with events and to hold account upon God's providence and beginneth to say, how wilt thou do this or that? We lose ground. We have nothing to do there. It is our part to let the Almighty exercise His own office and steer His own helm. There is nothing left for us but to see how we may be approved of Him and how we roll the weight of our weak souls upon Him who is God omnipotent. And when we thus essay miscarrieth, it shall be neither our sin nor our cross. What he has basically said in those moments is when we forget that duty is our work to fulfill what God has laid out for us and try to direct God in a way we want Him to go, we actually wind up in the way. That was my thought when I started putting this sermon together. Actually, not my thought. That was the thought that he gave me to start thinking about how many times we get in the way. Now, by show of hands, and I can see you, how many people admittedly have tried many times to get in God's way? Good. Put your hands up. Because if you don't, I'm coming to you. And you don't want me to do that. Because I'll come sit next to you on the couch and ask you these questions. We get in the way of God. And in this scripture from Isaiah, it might as well be called getting in the way of God. It starts off as an invitation to the thirsty. Now you have to understand that Isaiah, the prophet, writing these words or speaking these words that were written down from him, he's talking about an Israel that was given everything and yet failed to live up to their duty. Everything that was given to David for the beautifulness, the wonderfulness that they would see, they couldn't wait and be patient. And so they started taking matters into their own hands until, for lack of a better way to put it, God thumped them one on the head. Now, I bet you all thought I was going to try to say he thumped them on the head. And this is the warning back to them. They're walking around now. The Israelites are walking around now, thirsty and hungry. Not for bread, not for water. They're thirsty and hungry for peace and comfort and for the release of what they have found themselves into. And the prophet is writing that God has said this, come all ye who are thirsty, come to the waters. You don't have to have money. Just come and be with me and live and be fulfilled and listen to my word. Let my word fill you. Let my living waters quench your thirst. Why can't you get that? He even says in verse 2, listen, listen to me. Give ear, come to me. He points out that I have made an everlasting covenant with you. He goes on to talk to them a little bit further. He says, seek the Lord while He may be found. While He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him. And to our God, for He will freely pardon. But the key verse is 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. I guess it comes down to this question. And it's really, really a simple question. We read out through the rest of those verses how God has explained how much love He has for us. He makes sure that we understand that for as high as the heavens are or low as the lowest valley is, that's how far His thoughts are above ours. And that's how much He loves us, that He thinks about us on that scale. That His word will water and flower and not come back to Him empty if it's received. It will come back to Him full if we simply open our hearts and let Him lead us. In other words, we have to do that thing. We have to ask ourselves this simple question. Do we really trust that God will take care of us? I mean, really trust. Oh boy. Kabang! That's the hammer right there, ain't it? Because when I wrote those words and leaned back and thought about them, do I really trust Him to take care of me? I mean, really trust. I don't know where this came from, but there is a little saying that says, trust Him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust Him when thy strength is small. Trust Him when to simply trust Him seems the hardest thing of all. Trust Him, He is ever faithful. Trust Him, for His will is best. Trust Him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place of rest. Now I'm going to tell you the truth, because I don't like to hold back, or I don't like to make people think that there's something super special about anything. So here comes the truth. Are you ready? I don't always trust God. There it is. Am I ashamed to say it? Yeah. Does that stop me from doing it? No. Well, Paul, how do you not trust God? Because sometimes I think it's up to me to force my own way down my own journey, down my own path, that I don't think things are moving fast enough. And it happens a lot. And we do it. Maybe someone is facing a procedure. Maybe someone is facing a change in job, a change in family, a change in life. The journey is hard. And we don't need to make it harder by getting in the way of God. I don't know if I even talked about this, but a couple of weeks ago, I had a minor procedure to have a kidney stone removed because it wouldn't come out. It had been there for 2 years, maybe. Who knows? And from what I'm given to understand, and I'll tell you how dumb I am. Let me come around here for an Uncle Paul story. Let me just tell you about how dumb I am, because I am not a smart person. When the doctor said, your kidney stone is 15 millimeters, my mind immediately began to think, now what size bolt would that be? What size socket is that comparable to? Well, then I found out. It's comparable to almost 5/8 of an inch. That's pretty big. When we went in to do the procedure, we come to find out after they looked at it again, it was actually 2.2 centimeters. Centimeters! That's even bigger. I haven't figured out how big that is regarding to parts on a tractor or a steam engine. Just suffice to say it was big enough. But I had to be put to sleep. And I had to think to myself, I have to put all my trust and care in the Lord and in those around me. And God has a sense of humor. I don't care what anybody says. God has a sense of humor. We've already discussed that. He made giraffes. You explain to me why we need giraffes. Well, they got the long neck so they can eat the trees and the leaves up there. High tree. Make the trees lower. God has a sense of humor. Because when they brought me in and they got me back in the ready room and they put the little net on my head and they put all the stuff on me and they came by and they patted my arm and they said, we're going to do this and we're going to put you to sleep. And oh, by the way, we got to wait for a moment because the table has a problem with it, and we've got to send off to the manufacturer to make sure that we can correct the problem. So while all these other people are being whisked off out of that pre-op room to go get their surgeries done, and they're laughing, wah-ha-ha, and the nurses are talking to them, we're going to take you there, and it's all going to be good, and life's... Suddenly I'm alone in this room, and they're not coming for me. And I laid there for an hour waiting, and I started talking to God. I said, you know, I get it. I don't want to get in your way. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And that's when the answer came forward. We Christians who get in God's way have forgotten one of the most concrete things about God. When we do this, even if it's just briefly, we've forgotten about Jesus Christ. Because God made a promise with us that will never, cannot, ain't not, never going to be broken when He gave us His Son who died to save us. We believe in Him, everlasting life. Regardless of what happens down here, nothing we can do can take us away from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing we can hope for, nothing that we can possibly do to get in the way can take us away from the love of Jesus Christ. And oh, how much better this world would be if we would let go, like the old bumper sticker said, let go and let God. We have a heavenly home. If it was my day to go that day, then it was my day. My reward has been set. My eternity has been laid out. And yet, in the way was where I thought I had to be. I lay there thinking, God, I need you. And that's the answer I got. Don't get in the way, boy. I'll take care of you. We far too often find ourselves thinking we control things that we can't. We have to place our trust in God and Jesus. In the 1988 Winter Olympics, Robert Sutton wrote this little ditty that I like. He said, and I didn't see this, I wish I would have, but at preceding the 1988 Winter Olympics, featured blind skiers. Now I'm going to stop here for a moment. Let that one sink in. Blind skiers being trained for slalom skiing. In case you don't know what slalom skiing is, that's when they get those skis and they tuck themselves down like this and they put the poles and they go down the hill at about 1,000 miles an hour, and then they try to miss all the flags going down the hill to see who can go the fastest. Swish, 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 swish. I'm pretty good at that, ain't I? And that's what they do. Blind skiers. Slalom. And I used to ski. Impossible as that sounds, they were paired with sighted skiers. The blind skiers were taught on flats how to make left and right turns. And when they mastered that, they were taken to a slalom slope. And their sighted partners skied right alongside them, shouting, left, right, left, right. And they did it. They obeyed the commands. They negotiated the course. They crossed the finish line depending solely on the sighted skier's word. It was either trust or catastrophe. Either follow or get in the way and suffer the results. Robert goes on to write, what a vivid picture of Christian life. In this world, we are really blind about what course to take. We must rely solely on the word of the only one who is truly sighted, God Himself. His word gives us the direction we need to finish the course. In the way. Oh, I could enlarge our house. I could make it bigger, add a couple more bathrooms, make the kitchen big enough that I would have to use a golf cart to drive from one end to the other. The truth is, we would still be in each other's way because we're right there. We need to learn to stop getting in the way of God and learn to live in the way He would have us live. In the way He would have us live. And you want to know the answer to that? It's pretty simple. Trust in Him, only Him, through Jesus Christ, His Son, who has given us a promise that will not be broken. We need to live in the way that He has given us. Thank you for being here. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are here. We could have gotten in your way again and said, whatever, not to. But yet you gave us all this technology and you gave us all this ability. And so we're here, even though we're not all here, we've heard your word, Father. Let it lift us up. Let it remind us of who we are and where we need to be. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that there are those that hopefully will hear this that are having trouble in the way, that you would be with them, that our prayers would go out to them, that they would reach out and find Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for all the things that you've given. In His name we pray. Amen. So before we close down, I just want to remind you that there are people around you, if you're listening to this for the first time, that there are people around you that love you, that know Jesus Christ. Get with them if you're lost. If you're having problems in the way that you need to be, get with them. I thank you for spending time with us today. And I ask that the blessings of heaven rest upon you. I ask that the direction is given to you. I ask that you're watched over and kept, knowing that we love you, we pray for you, and we're all together with this. May you walk with Christ and God this week. Amen, and thank you.